Good morning. I want to welcome everybody to Healing School, those of you who are viewing online, as well as those of you who are here with us in person today. We look forward to what the Lord's going to say to us today. In our prayer time before service this morning, we prayed that I would be able to speak as if the oracles of God were actually coming through me, and that's what we believe will happen today. So for those of you online, I just don't want you to feel like that we're just allowing you to watch it afterwards. We want you to participate with us, and we're concerned about you. We've prayed for you, those who would be watching this online. So as you join us today, let your faith rise up so that you can receive all that you need to from the Lord. So today, I'm going to continue teaching what I started back about 3 weeks ago, where we talked about forgiving others as Christ forgave me. We're going to do it with a little different twist today, a little different focus, but we're going to continue that. And the last time that I taught, we really started with Matthew chapter 18. And we talked about, if you think about one scripture about forgiveness, it's normally in this chapter, or in Luke's version of it, where Jesus is talking to his disciples about forgiveness, and he tells them 7 times 70 is how much. Really what he's saying is never stop forgiving. And we saw right after that in verse 23 of that chapter, the first part, that it reads this way, For this reason, talking about the forgiveness, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. And so what do we see just with that brief statement? That forgiveness is a kingdom principle. And I'm going to say today several times, so I'll just warn you, that it is a major kingdom principle. You're going to see that it is one of the primary acts of the love that the Father has for us. We then looked at John, the 20th chapter, where Jesus came and walked into the presence of the disciples, and he breathed on them during this discourse. And I believe that's when they were born again. And then I asked the question, what would you tell somebody immediately after they were born again? And maybe the more important question is, what did Jesus say to someone as soon as they were born again? And we see that in verse 23 of that same chapter in John 20. But I want to read it to you from the Bible in basic English. What Jesus told them was, any to whom you give forgiveness will be made free from their sins. And any from whom you keep back forgiveness will still be in their sins. Now, this is talking about sins that someone has or offenses that may come against you and I. It's not talking about what Jesus does and the overall saving that he does for us. But isn't it amazing that the very first thing Jesus tells his disciples is to have that forgiving attitude. Have such a love that you forgive others. And we talked about the fact last week that the word sin there literally means to miss the mark. And it's translated sin, but it's also translated offense. And so I want to mention that today because we're actually going to see it come up in another verse. But all too often, I think we take offense at things and we don't see that the same thing as how we ought to forgive. So we're going to talk about that a little more today. So I don't want you to think, well, it's just something really bad. No, it's all those little times that you just get your feelings hurt or you are offended, because I believe this applies to it as well. We also saw that the words for two words put together that are used for forgive means to send off. And I want to read with you what we spoke in our last session from Rick Renner in his book, The Sparkling Gems, concerning from this word. It means to set free, to let go, to release, to discharge, or to liberate completely. And one of the things he does is he really talks a lot about how the word was used during this Bible time. And here's what he says about it during New Testament times. It was used in a secular sense in reference to canceling a debt. That's a key point, because we're going to call today's title Release the Debt, Release Healing. It's also releasing someone from the obligation of a contract, a commitment, or a promise. And so this concept of just totally setting somebody free for something they've offended you with or something they've done to you, This is what Jesus is telling the disciples they need to do. And this was his first words of encouragement to them after they were born again. Now, we looked at two examples of how important it is for us to be forgiven and to forgive. We looked at Jesus on the cross, where he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And who was that for? He was talking about everyone who had a role in that. And I would back up and say it was for the gentleman. Gentleman may be a loose use of that term, but it was for the guy who put the stripes on his back for our healing. We'll bring that up since it's healing school. It was for Pilate and Herod. It was for the soldiers, particularly that one soldier who, as Jesus passed, looked up and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." What did he do? He released the offense, the debt that they had committed. He set them free so that now they are set free to be ministered to by the Lord. We also looked at Stephen when he was stoned in Acts. And what happened to him? He looked up as they started stoning him, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father to welcome him. So he knew his death was coming, and he actually told the Lord, "I commend my spirit to you. I give myself to you." And then the very last thing he said was to forgive them. Now, the key point about that we can ask is, what impact did it have? And I would say, well, what impact did it have on the one who was holding their clothes? In the next chapter, the first verse said, Paul was in agreement with them, with what they were doing. So now think about that. Stephen freed up Paul so that he could be put in a position to receive revelation from God. That's a mighty strong act. Then we looked at, in Luke 5, the man who was let down through the roof. And it said, Jesus, seeing their faith, said to them. Now, what did he see that they had faith for? Because we're in healing school today. For healing. But what did he say to them? Your sins are forgiven. And that created quite a stir. And he went on to tell them, well, why is this such a big deal? Which is easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk, which he did. And so again, we just see the connection of forgiveness and healing. And forgiveness of sin not only sets free the one who is forgiven, what did we learn last week? It also sets me free as I forgive. Again, set free to receive all that the Lord wants us to do. So today I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. And we're going to talk about release the debt, release healing. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, he made him sin on our behalf, that we might become or be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So in this exchange, Jesus was made sin, and what happened to me? I was set free from sin. He redeemed me. He paid my debt that I couldn't pay. And it involved unconditional forgiveness. He took it all away. Now, we're talking about us forgiving, so I would ask the question, why would we hold on to something like forgiveness that we've been given freely? We did not earn it. We did not deserve it. It was all because of what Jesus did. Why would we hold on to that when we could freely give it away? And if we're honest with each other, we've all experienced times, I'll confess I have, where it actually maybe felt a little good in my flesh to be mad at somebody. Now, we can laugh, but most of the time that's because we can identify with it. But that's one of the things that we do that we really don't, if what we're saying is, I don't fully appreciate the value of forgiveness. So let's look at some more scriptures. Go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter with me. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13 in Colossians 3. And so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, and that's you and I. Yes, holy, and we do beloved by the Father. It says, for us to put on a heart of compassion. So here's this concept of love coming first and foremost. Now, in the Old Testament, and some translations in the New Testament will use the word mercy in this verse. But I just want to remind you, what was mercy in the Old Testament? It was the covenant love, the word hesed, H-E-S-E-D. So covenant love, compassion, comes first and foremost. So he says, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then look at what he says here. Bearing with one another. That means literally means putting up with. And what? Forgiving one each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone. And how are we to do it? The last part of the verse instructs us. Just as the Lord forgave you. In other words, what? Unconditionally, I should forgive just as the Lord forgave me. And that's how it concludes, by telling me that's my responsibility. But it's interesting to me here that in verse 12, where did this start with? Compassion, love. And again, we see forgiveness as one of a kingdom principle that comes from or flows from that love. In the book of Mark, the first chapter, the 41st verse, and we won't teach this whole account, but a leper has come to Jesus. And he said to him, I know you can, if you will, talking about heal him from his leprosy. And look at this verse. Moved with compassion. Now this word for compassion is about 14 Greek letters, but it means to yearn from the bowels. And so what it's talking about, our spirit man in here, that compassion, that love is not just earthly love, but it's that agape love that flowed up and out of Jesus. And what did he do? He stretched forth his hand and he touched him and he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And so we see here this connection between love and forgiveness, and we see here love and healing. Look with me at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 29 through 32. In verse 29, Paul is talking and reinforcing some things that Jesus has said, and he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, you're going to see in this text, one of the principles he's talking about is forgiveness. And so here we are releasing, showing mercy and releasing grace. And then the next verse says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Now, I've taught and I've heard others teach that those two are really tied together, and I think they are. But I want us to look at verse 31 because we're going to see some things that I also believe will grieve the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us with all that Jesus has placed in us. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away with you, put away from you, along with all malice. And then 32 says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted. This is coming from a word that is also very similar to the word for compassion that's used, has the same root to it. And then what comes? Forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ has forgiven you, or just as God through the act of the cross with Christ Jesus has forgiven you and I. Now, this is clear instruction to me. In fact, I would be so bold as to say, this is a command. This is how we are to teach. This is how we are to show, to demonstrate who we are as believers, as we love one another, doing what? Forgiving. And so I believe that unforgiveness is also one of those things that would hurt the heart of the Lord or grieve the Spirit. But I want to back up and look at verse 31. Because these things that are mentioned here are manifestations that our flesh exhibits. Now, when someone has hurt you and you haven't acted on forgiveness, and we'll talk about doing it quickly, have you ever sensed bitterness rise up in you? Or anger and clamor, meaning everything just seems to happen more intensely at once. And maybe you said some things about that person. So do you see that these things here are also manifestations that can come out of us when we don't act with forgiveness, but we remain in a state of unforgiveness. And then I'll ask the question, have you ever seen bitterness? I won't say you, but in someone else, because it's easier for us to identify that. Have I ever, in my body, been bitter against someone and seen it have some physical effect on me, either in my mental state, my soul, my well-being, or even my flesh? Yeah, I mean, you'll see your blood pressure rise if you just stay in that bitterness or that mad long enough. So I just want you to continue to see the relationship between forgiveness, unforgiveness, and healing, which is what we're believing for today, for you to receive in your body. As I said last week, this is not the cause for everyone who doesn't receive from the Lord. Let's don't make it the only doctrine. But this is a reason, I believe, that people have a hard time receiving, because when your love and compassion get stopped up, it impacts your ability to walk in faith. And Andrew Womack talks about how it kind of clogs the connection between your heart, your soul, your spirit man, and your soulish man, because everything we receive comes where? Through the Spirit up into us. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, and we'll look at verses 6 through 11. Now in this chapter, Paul is referencing back a letter that he'd written previously to him and how he caused him some sorrow, where he was correcting some things of some sexual activity that should not have been going on with an individual. So we're going to pick up in verse 6 and read. Sufficient for such is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority. So that, verse 7, on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort, talking about this gentleman, lest somehow such a one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Then verse 8, wherefore I urge you to do what? Reaffirm your love for him. So here's love again, brought right in with forgiveness. And then it continues on. Verse 9, for to this end I wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. So we talked just a moment ago that this is a command that we are to forgive. And now we're seeing an example where he's saying, I'm looking to see if you're going to be obedient to love and to forgive, to walk in that. And so then we go to verse 10. But whom you forgive anything, Paul says, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of God. Let me read that to you out of the Passion Translation. It's a little bit clearer. If you freely forgive anyone for anything, then I also forgive him. And if I have forgiven anything, I did so for you. Now, Paul is talking here and referencing how forgiveness just is not impacting him, but it's who? Impacting others as well. And that's such a key point for us to see. And he says, I did so for you before the face of Christ. And that goes on to verse 11, and says, which says, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan. Now, let's just stop right there. That no advantage be taken of us by Satan. So do you see he's talking about the ones who are to be forgiving? He's not just pointing at the one who we are saying forgiveness to or speaking forgiveness to, the one who did the act. He's saying if we don't forgive something that others have done to us, that if we don't do that, that it gives Satan an advantage. And then it goes on to say, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now the word schemes here talks about a mental aspect. In another verse, the word schemes is talking about a road or a way. And what I want to tell you is, this is the way This is one of the only roads Satan has, is to try to convict you and tie you up in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotion, and make you so, if we go back to the previous verse, anger, and excuse me, I was talking about the previous scripture, M, but you don't need to go there. But if we have all that clamor, if we have all that wrath, if we have all that anger, all that anxiety, what are we doing? We're tying ourselves up so tight that I believe we are hindering what God wants to release to you, what is already yours in your spirit, where this kingdom of God resides. And so what we're seeing here is that we're giving the devil an advantage when we don't forgive. So we would say, giving him an advantage to do what? Well, that's really pretty easy. Because what does John 10:10 say? John 10:10 tells us, and I'm going to read this also from the Passion Translation, a thief has but one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. And then Jesus goes on to say why he's come, that we might have life and have it in abundance, copiously, large amounts of life flowing through us. So what this is saying then is if we give Satan the advantage, we are opening a door, we are cracking a door for things to happen that he can use against us, against our will. And it's because we're so tied up in our own thoughts, our own mind, our own emotion about what has happened. So let me talk, before we go any further, just about releasing the debt, D-E-B-T. And I want to talk about what the debt, what releasing the debt involves and what it doesn't involve. But when we release a debt, we pay that debt. In essence, what we're doing is giving that account to God. And as we do that, then what we are really saying is, justice is not mine. We're going to turn it over to the just God, to the just Father, and let him administer it. And when we do that, then what are we doing? We're beginning to let go of all that anger. And it frees you and I up to let God work in us. But what have we learned also? It frees the person who wronged us up so that the Lord can work in him also. So justice is not ours. So we would say justice is not a part directly of forgiveness. That I must see that judgment, that justice come. I'm giving that up to the Lord. So what are some other things that are not involved in forgiveness? Well, a lot of people say, well, if I forgive somebody, I'm really compromising what I believe. No, you're not compromising the word, morals, or anything like that. You are releasing them from the debt for the Lord to judge them. It's not ours. And they said, well, I can't forgive him because I can't trust him. Trust is not a part of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness may start a process of restoring trust, but you being able to trust someone and waiting till you can trust until you forgive, some of us would be waiting a long, long time. And all we're doing when we do that and use that excuse is binding ourselves up from what the Lord wants to do. You've said, as I have probably, I can't forget it, so I can't forgive him. Forgetting is not part of forgiveness. One of the things that I experienced putting this teaching together were there were a lot of things that I have that came back to me where I had some difficulties forgiving people. And those would come back. But you know what didn't come with it? It had no power over me. What they did to me didn't have anything on me. I had released it to God. And to be honest with you, some of them I had totally forgotten about. And so that really, I think, shows. How many of you have had somebody who came to you and said, let me tell you what this person did to me. And they rant and rave and rant and rave and rant and rave. And you say, my gosh, that must have been bad. Did this happen yesterday? No, this was 10 years ago. But what are they doing? They are holding on to this, and it's not allowing them to go free. Now, one of the things that forgiveness also is not is to be 100% past the pain that it may have caused you. But you know what? You can still be free of that pain. You don't have to let it in. It's just like fear. It's just like sickness. They try to come upon us. But we don't have to receive it into our being. And so I just want us to see that the Lord has taken forgiveness and set it in a place so that we stay in right relationship, not only with people, and how important that is in the body of Christ together. Because sometimes we see believers that can be some of the meanest people around. But how important it is, because it sets us back at one with each other, and it also keeps us as one with the Lord. Now, in Matthew's account and in Luke's account, there are some verses that come right after these two accounts of forgiving 7 times 70. And I want us to look at those, because as I've studied the context of forgiveness in this, I see some ties to healing in the verses that follow. So let's go first back to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And in the 21st verse is where Peter comes to the Lord, and he's very pleased and said, should I forgive him 7 times? And in 22, the Lord says what to him? No, 7 times 70. And he kind of deflates him. We'll see what the disciples said then in Luke's account in a moment. But Jesus then begins talking in verse 23 with a phrase that we read earlier. He says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. So I want to say one more time, forgiveness is a kingdom principle. He's talking about forgiveness, and he goes right into, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven. Think about it a moment. What did Jesus come to the earth to do? And you would say, well, to reconcile us back to God, yes. But he came to the earth to take our sins so that we could what? Walk totally free. Have nothing between us and the Lord whatsoever. And then it continues on in verse 24. And he says, and when he had begun, he talked about a king who was selling accounts. And in 24 says, and when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, in doing some research, I found some numbers that are big, but I found a couple by some people I would trust that say this in today's buying power could be up to $300 million. Truly a debt that could not be paid. And that's an important thought for us to keep in this whole discussion. Verse 25, but since he did not have the means to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all he had, and repayment to be made. Now, let's just think about that a minute. Everything that this man had, including their own lives, they were to be sold as slaves, it wouldn't come anywhere near the price of what he owed or the value of what he owed. So this is the debt's still not going to be repaid. But I want you to see also and think about and appreciate, because we were brought out of the sin of slavery. And what a slave, what happened to one who was being sold as a slave? Here you got this man who did this, but who's impacted? He, his wife, and his children. When you are sold as a slave in these days, and it's really true all the way back to Joseph, when his brothers sold him, and when he was sold to Potiphar, they would put you on a platform, and you were basically naked, no clothes. And the people who were willing to buy could come up and slap you on the face and do other things to you. Why would they do that? To see how you would react. And if you were calm and during all that, you might bring a higher price. So total humiliation, it's easy for you to say, humiliation. Lost everything. In fact, it reminds me of someone who had leprosy, which was what? Tied to sin in the Old Testament. Because a leper was separated from his family. So you might go one place, his wife go another, and his children another. You were separated just like a leper was. The leper that Jesus healed. The leper who Jesus showed compassion to. But you suffered that same mental, and I'll use the word torment. And maybe as a slave you were worked terribly hard that you suffered physical impairment as well. So I want you to see this act had an impact on those as he was put on that slave market. And then verse 26 says, the slave therefore falling down prostrated himself before him saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. Now, thank goodness we have a patient Father in heaven. And he is allowing Jesus to receive a fuller price for all the sin that he paid for. His patience far exceeds mine in what I would have looked for in his position. But this man then, after he had asked for patience, and our Father being that way will be patient with us, what did the man say? Or what does verse 27 say? The Lord of the slave felt compassion, there's that word again, down from my inner being, and he released him and forgave the debt. So he didn't recover what he was owed. He didn't seek justice for it. He gave it up. And the man and his family walked free. He set him free from all he had done. Then we get into verse 28. And really, let's just stop at 27 again. Isn't that what Jesus did for you and I? He purchased us. He redeemed us from that slave market. He set us free from all sin. And now what have we taught you at Healing School here? He sets you free from all sin, but also what? All the impact of sin, which is healing, torment in your soul. All those things he's taken on the cross with him. We've looked at Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 a number of times here. And you see that when he purchased us from the slave market, being bound a slave because of our sin, we are set free not only for that sin, but for everything that came with it when the curse came on this earth. We've been set free, and that's how this man was. Then, verse 28, but the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And what did he do? And he seized him and began to choke him, and he said, pay back what you owe me. Now, that would be about $20 value. And we say, boy, that's a wicked man. Well, let's talk about ourselves for a moment. If I took all of my sin and put it in a stack, it might be a pretty good size stack. And I could probably keep my arm going up. But if I took all of the minor irritations and things that people have done to me that hurt my feelings or that rubbed me the wrong way or that I took offense to, or even maybe they did something that they really shouldn't have done. Maybe someone stole something from me one time. How tall you reckon that would be? Down below knee level? And so do you realize that when we don't forgive, that's those who helped us build that small stack, when we've been forgiven of this huge stack, we're doing today the same thing that this man did. It's just not dealing with what? With dollars and cents. So we need to see that this is something we end up doing a lot more than we probably want to be. And that's what I do. I keep not only me bound, but who else? The person that I haven't forgiven. I keep them bound as well in this. And then verse 29, so the slave fell down and began to entreat him, have patience with me and I'll repay you. Sounds familiar, don't it? What he had also done. Verse 30 says, he was unwilling, however, and he went and threw him in a prison until he should pay back what he owed. So he's put this man in a prison. And he's got to work for a length of time to pay back. Now, he may have been able to do that after a number of years for that small. But if it had been even bigger, he wouldn't have. But the concept is the same. And I want you to see what happened here. And we're talking still about healing school, so don't lose that thought. So when his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were deeply grieved, and they came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you have not had mercy on your fellow slave, forgiven him, in essence, even as I had mercy on you?" And what do we know? Yes, he should have. Now, do you remember that he got angry with this fellow slave of his? And in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 26 and 27, talks about being angry and do not sin and don't let the sun go down on your sin. And what's the next verse there? And do not give the devil an opportunity. So do you see how our reaction, again, it ties right back in to what we saw earlier. Don't give him an advantage. Don't give him an opportunity. And it all goes hand in hand quite often with us not being willing to forgive. So what is this man's, the first slave, what has his unforgiveness done to him? Because this verse says that it's going to give the devil an opportunity to work with him. Well, what happened to him? Look in verse 34. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers. Some translations say tormentors. And I like that word better. King James actually says tormentors too. They handed him over to the tormentors until he should repay all that he owed him. Now let's remember, until he should pay all that he owed him, $300 million. Is that really what? Possible? No. So he's put in that state basically forever. Now, I just want to ask this question. When you think about this verse, what kind of torment do you think this gentleman endured? The word for tormentors there, or torturers, is really the word that's used to put a person on a rack and stretch them out and get the truth out of them. And so it's kind of got a picture of stretching somebody till they give you everything that they possibly could pay for. But have you ever been tormented? Did that torment create some anxiety or worry or fear on your part? And maybe there was a time during that where you didn't sleep well? And did it also might have some physical impact on you? Because worry and anxiety is attributed to a lot of diseases or dis-ease, if I can use that analogy. So why am I saying that? Because all of these things, while we think about somebody being sold as a slave or put into prison, it affects us in our soul and in our flesh in each case. And it puts you in a position where you are bound in prison and you've done it to yourself. Now again, I'm not saying that all inabilities to receive healing from the Lord come through this. But this is a kingdom principle, and I think it is one of paramount importance, if not one of the primary things. So what I want you to see is some of the attributes that we think about when torment, we use the word torment, can impact our physical and our mental well-being. Now think about this word debt. Matthew 6:12 in the model prayer, "And forgive us our debts," what the Lord has done for us, "as we have" what? "Forgiven our debtors," those who owe us something, or at least in our thoughts. And then I want you to look at John 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Now, what is a disciple? One like the Master. Not above, but like Him. Now, what does that mean? That means I can do the same thing, or I should do the same things that He's done. So He talks this, if you abide in my word, my word abides in you, then you are truly my disciples. So now He's beginning to talk about what you're doing and the impact on you. Look at the next verse. And you will know that truth, or the truth, and what will the truth do? What will forgiving, just like Jesus did, do for you? It will allow you to walk free in this walk of faith, in this walk of life, in this abundance of life that Jesus has come, where there's nothing that can bind us up and cause us to let go of all that has been given us that belongs to us. Now, I want to go over one other scripture before we begin to close here in Luke 17. And this one, I think, points out the need for us to forgive quickly. And this is Luke's account of his discussion with the disciples about forgiving. And it starts out in verse 1. He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks, and the word there is literally the word scandalazo in the Greek, which means offenses." So let me read it that way. It is inevitable that offenses come. And then it talks about to those through whom they come and what the impact on them can be. And he says in verse 2 that it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck that he should cause one of these little ones. And he's talking about this in context of children. But basically what we're seeing is that the person offended and the person who offends has something at risk here. And then go down to verse 4. And then here's this phrase that Jesus says, "And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, forgive him." And look at verse 5. What did the apostles say? Increase our faith. How in the world can we forgive like that? And now comes a parable. And in this parable, he's talking about faith. And we're not going to go through but one verse of it. But he's talking about faith and how your faith will work for you as a servant would. And that's how we are to forgive, by faith. But I want to go through verse 6 with you in great detail. Because I think this verse shows us also a connection to healing. And it's so important. And I would even say to you that when you understand what we're about to go through, it will make you want to forgive quickly. Because he's been talking about what now in verses 1 through 5? Forgiveness. Don't ever stop forgiving. And the way this reads is, if you had faith, this is Jesus talking, like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree. Now let me just stop there. In most of the original language, that word would be translated a sycamine tree, which is kind of like a mulberry tree, but it would be a poor representation of it, and you'll see why in a moment. And that's important. So you would say to this sycamine tree, which King James says, "Be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." Now, this verse is talking about us acting on faith, in faith, what has already been placed in us concerning forgiveness. Why does it talk about planted in the sea? Might it be a connection back to some verses in the Old Testament, the book of Micah, in the last chapter of Micah, almost the last couple of verses, around verse 18, where it talks about our sins will be put in the sea of forgetfulness by the Lord? Or might it be the children of Israel, who the soldiers were coming after him? And what did those soldiers represent? The sin in Israel. And what did the Lord say to them? Tomorrow you're not going to see these people anymore. And that's the way we need to see us when we act in forgiveness. As these things that have troubled us concerning what we're forgiving people for won't be able to trouble us anymore. So let me talk about the sycamine tree. It grew very, very rapidly. And you know what? If you don't deal with unforgiveness and the bitterness it brings, it will grow in you very, very rapidly until it consumes you. So there's one analogy. The second one, it grew well in arid or dry environments, environments that weren't well watered. And if you don't deal with unforgiveness, the washing of the water of the Word, the flow of the Spirit will be impacted by it. But that bitterness from unforgiveness will continue to do what? Continue to increase. The third thing is the wood of a sycamine tree was extremely durable. Now, what does that mean? Well, I would think it means it wouldn't rot quickly. How about if I say it this way? It wouldn't go away on its own. And if you don't deal with unforgiveness, it won't go away on its own either. So some similarities. Now with those similarities, you want to take a guess at what the primary use of the wood of the sycamine tree was used for? A casket, which to me ties in to, takes death and sickness and disease, which is the devil's tool to try to lead us that route. And let me just say, if he could kill all of us, he would have already done it. He can't do that for you. The Lord is still protecting you and I. But when we do what? When we begin to put ourselves in agreement with him, we give him, we've seen, the advantage. Now, this sycamine tree, because it did work well in an arid environment, its roots went very, very deep. And unforgiveness, if you don't deal with it, will build roots that grow down deep inside you. And it makes it even harder to deal with when you don't do it quickly. And I'm going to say again, you will be amazed when, if you take time to look back at things where you acted quickly in forgiveness, how they no longer have any hold over you. Yes, you remember them, but you can smile at it and say, "Thank you, Lord. I sowed a seed to release him from debt." And that's only going to prosper you. The other thing that the sycamine tree had that the mulberry tree didn't was its fruit was very, very bitter. So when we think about that man who was turned over to the tormentors, bitterness came. The more bitterness came, the more he got correction, or he got handled by the one who stretched him out and tormented him, the more torment came. And it just becomes a vicious cycle in you. So that's one of the reasons we want to do it quick. And the last thing that I just want to mention here is that it's interesting because honeybees were not the key pollinators of this tree. Wasps were. Now I find that's interesting because of the sting of bitterness. Again, holding on to that offense, holding on to unforgiveness concerning that act that person hurt you. Again, that little stack that I have, I'm holding on to when I've had this huge stack that I can't even reach high enough for, forgiven me. And when I saw all these things in these two parables and their connection to healing, it just amplified to me how much not only healing, but everything that is ours through the redemptive act, peace, forgiveness of sins, condemnation removed, when I hold on to these things keep a root in me and it chokes out my ability in many cases to receive my healing. Because what do? You get into depression, you get into condemnation, you're unworthy. All those things that we teach about here. Pastor Robert taught about it last healing school, last week. All those things that we've received, when we stay in unforgiveness, all we're doing is tamping those down from working in our lives. So let me just close with these thoughts, and then we'll spend some time praying with you. Forgiveness, to set free, to release the debt. What does it do? It releases the debt to God. It lets Him make the decisions on it. It releases the people who perform these acts against us, who offended us, to God and to His righteous judgment. It's not ours to judge. And now we're going to talk about what it does for me. But it releases me from being held hostage in prison and from those tormentors. Two people were tormented. The man who didn't forgive his fellow slave and his fellow slave both ended up in prison. And so when I act in unforgiveness, it's not only me I'm impacting, but it's a brother in the Lord or it's someone else who has done that. It also releases compassion and love, and I would say covenant love, and it sows mercy and grace. The scripture tells us God is not mocked. What we sow, we will reap. Pastor Trey says all the time, man, I sow mercy because I want to receive mercy. Grace will also come to us with this. And I think I mentioned last week, not only in the Mark 1:41 that we looked at today, but also feeding of the 5,000 and other situations, every time it talks about Jesus feeling compassion, feeling that love, having already forgiven the people, what came? Some miracle came. But I want you to look in closing with me at 2 Chronicles 7:14. A very familiar scripture, one that many of us have prayed here, particularly in the last several months, and that we believe is even happening now. And my people, if my people, it's talking about if before that, King James, I think, says if my people, and my people who are called by my name. So in today's terms, if we take this and bring it into our new covenant, we're talking about what? Believers. You and I. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Now, why is he going to hear from heaven? Well, what do we know from 1 John 5? If we speak his will, if we ask his will, then he what? Hears us. And the next verse, verse 15, goes on to say, and we know if he hears us, then we have what we're asking for. So he says, then I will hear from heaven, and I will what? Forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I believe this verse instructs us, even though it's talking about healing in a land, that healing comes with forgiveness. Release the debt, release healing. Again, I can see Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive that guy, maybe it was two, at the whipping post, for he knows not what he's done. If he will forgive our land, how much more in our new and better covenant, if he will heal our land, how much more in our new and better covenant will he heal our body when he gave his back so that we might walk free? Saints, I'm just convinced that in situations today, maybe some of you online who have held back from forgiving someone, quite often it's a loved one, someone we deeply care about, and we just flat refuse to forgive them. Bless God, I'll show them. And then all the while, we suffer more than they did, more than they are, and because we've not released either one of us. Now, what do we do in this case? Well, we don't go on a witch hunt trying to condemn ourselves and think of every time. Simply ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to show you your heart. And if there's unforgiveness there, he'll put his finger on it. He'll shine a light on it. And then what do? we repent and we turn away, and He is what? Quick to forgive us. And then all of a sudden, we are restored. We were already there, but at least we've removed all those obstacles in our mind where the devil's been battling us, saying, you're not going to get healed, you can't get healed. We take authority over those thoughts. We know we're set free. And that healing will begin to flow. I am convinced that if we will just react in our lives quickly to repent, to forgive today, then we will see ourselves beginning to walk in more of divine health. And I've said before, and I'll say again, it is a lot easier, I believe, to continue to walk in health than it is to try to work yourself back and believe and receive your healing. So let this encourage you. If there are things that you've put up with a long time, ask the Lord. Don't do it in a condemning way. And if He doesn't show it to you, then keep on believing as you have been. Ask Him what other fine-tuning. You know, so often it's not a major change we have to make. If I fly to the West Coast from Atlanta, and my compass in my airplane is set just a couple of degrees off, then you know I might land in Oakland or San Francisco instead of my destination in Los Angeles. So it's this fine-tuning, and I believe that's where a lot of us are, that the Lord is doing so that we not only will be quick to forgive, but we'll be quick to receive the healing that is released in us. I trust this has blessed you. I hope it encourages you. It's not one of the more rah-rah, let's stand up and cheer and get excited about sounding subjects. But when you understand the power of your forgiveness and the impact on the one who offended and yourself, then you're going to see this in a totally different light. And I can guarantee you there will be rejoicing then in the tents of the righteous. Now we're going to spend some time today laying hands on people who are here. If you have prayer requests, please put it in the comments, and we'll be sure to pray over them just as diligently as we're going to pray for these people here. But let me encourage you. There is an advantage to be gathering with fellow believers, and to do so in a corporate environment, faith increases. And so let me encourage you. Come. You know, I think about the widow, the woman who was bowed over with the spirit of infirmity, and how much trouble it must have been for her to get to the synagogue that day. Don't let things stop you from coming when you have that need. There is healing in this place. We've seen numerous testimonies, and we just believe we're going to see it ministered to you over the airways, but also here. If you have any difficulties receiving it, come and allow the pastors here to lay hands on you and pray as we do over the congregation. That's what we're about to do now. We love you guys. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. And let me just say, release the debt and your healing, you'll also see release for you to take.